inner pathways, inspirations for your journey towards sustainability and beyond. Hello, friends of the Inner Pathways podcast series. This is Deborah, welcoming you today to the third episode of season two. This May full moon with eclipse puts an emphasis on communication and letting go of becoming dogmatic and rigid in our opinions. Our team astrologer, Fernanda, suggests that our truth could include more compassion as a way to bring people together rather than segregate. Indeed, it's no coincidence that this sky is bringing a special guest to us. I announced him as a surprise in the previous episode, and I'll finally reveal that today we have Charles Eisenstein with us. He's an author and speaker that particularly speaks to my heart, and whose words resonate in the hearts of activists all over the world as well. For me, personally, it's even more magical to interview him today, because Inner Pathways had a hand in it too. In 2019, while I was fully engaged in the project, I've been spending an incredible amount of hours sleeping on night buses to go to a couple of European seminars that he held during that year. And during one of those, we agreed that I'd be translating one of his books, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible, into Italian. So this meeting with him today is a little coronation of a dream of mine. Well, I'll quit this sentimentalism right now and I'll leave you with our interview. Here we go.
So, hi,
Sarah,
Charles.
Yes.
It's a great pleasure. Yeah, it's a great pleasure to be here with you. Yeah. And I welcome you personally and as a member of the Inner Pathways Towards Sustainability Project. And yes, we've been so inspired by the message that you convey that we're really enthusiastic to spend some time with you. So, do you have anything to say just as an intro for yourself just before I start with my questions? Do you want to?
No, just that I am very grateful that you're doing this work in care and love for the earth. And I think we're all coming from that place. So, yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions that you think I might be helpful with.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, I just go straight to the point because one of the main queries that we faced is the difficulty to align the culture of being in the not knowing and the urge to act. So I'd like you to say something about staying in this uncertainty and sometimes the brokenness that we perceive without wanting to rush. This is a big issue for, you know, activists in general and for the people who also participated in our learning journey.
Yeah, so I think the important thing is to have absolute clarity about your aim and your motivations. And to maybe sometimes I'd like to take a pause before I speak or before I act to make sure that I know why I am speaking or why I'm acting. Is it because I know that this is actually going to help something that I care about? Or is it that I have this pressure to just do something to make it look to myself and maybe others that I'm doing something? And in the issue that you're talking about, inner pathways to sustainability, I would even start by asking what is the impulse underneath that. I get caught up on the word sustainability a little bit because in fact, I am not here to sustain the world that we have created right now. I don't want to sustain it. I want to change it. I want to heal it. I want to be part of a healing and part of a transformation, not actually part of sustainability. So, and I know that this, you know, that I don't want to like pick on the words, you know, because we use whatever words we can that come from the deeper impulse. But for me, when I am really clear about why I'm here and what I'm serving, then I can also have clarity about when to act, when to pause, when and to listen to my intuition that says sometimes I'm just running around putting out fires here and not addressing the source of the fires. Like, what is the source of the fires? And it's hard sometimes to go to that when there's always another fire to put out, always something horrible happening on this earth. But if we never go to the deeper levels and act on those levels too, then we'll be putting out fires for the rest of our lives. And this leads to what you're calling inner pathways. Like, even the title that you have of inner pathways recognizes that our effective action in the world has something to do with what's going on inside. And that, I could say sustainability, but I would like to say, really, to broaden that and to say earth healing, world healing, regeneration, it has an inner and an outer dimension, and that one cannot proceed without the other. So it's not to say, well, forget the world, just work on yourself. But it's to understand that they go hand in hand. Like, how can you actually effectively work on the world if you're not working on yourself as well? If you're not in a process of transformation that sometimes might take you to a point of, oh my goodness, everything that I was doing was part of the problem, not part of the solution. I was trapped in a maze, trapped in an ideology, trapped in assumptions that I clung onto so tightly and built my whole identity around them. And maybe those aren't true. That kind of humility is what the world needs right now, because guess what? Everybody in the world, well, okay, not everybody, but an awful lot of people believe that they are helping the planet. They believe they are doing a good thing. They are full of righteousness. And if they don't have the equipment and the practices to sometimes question that, to be open, to have that humility, then nothing is going to change. So, yeah, I think I might have gone on a bit there, but yeah, feel free to follow up. Or
yeah, thank you. Actually, there was a point in the project where we faced also the disappointment with this word sustainability as well, as a team and as individuals, and the word regeneration actually came up, and it was much more resonating. But then the project had already the name and everything, and it was also funded, so we couldn't change it. But yeah, regeneration is a concept that really much resonated with us, rather than sustain. And yes, maybe I just go on with my questions, because if I follow you, I think we go.
Yeah, go for it.
We go to the stars. And in the project, we've been resonating a lot with the concept of space between two worlds. And can you expand a little more for the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I call it the space between stories, but I think what we're both talking about is this place of bewilderment when our understanding of what's real and what's permanent and who I am and why I'm here and how the world works, that falls apart. And we enter this place of not knowing what to do or who we are, how to live, and that's actually a sacred place, because it's the place where something new can grow. That isn't just another version of the old. Part of the breakdown process is, oh my God, this isn't working. Let's do something different. But until you've gone through that long, well, it could be long, territory in between, then these new things that you're doing end up being versions of the old. for something genuinely new to be born, you have to come to a still point. You have to come to a place of total release, of total not knowing, of total surrender. That's the emptiness. That's the emptiness into which something new can come.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I have a couple more questions, I think. One is, I'd like to ask you about the impression that I have, that it's difficult to feel that we're all in the same boat in these times, and this situation that we're living, that we've been living in the last year, it's somehow amplifying this sensation. So this is a very important thing that I find in your books and in your talks.
So are you saying that the last year has amplified the feeling of not all being in the same boat, or of being all in the same boat?
I know that we are all in the same boat, but I see people taking distances between one another. Yes. I mean, ideologically and
right. Yeah. Yeah. The levels of polarization and discord. Yes, are reaching new heights. Yes, we are being divided. And I have to say, you know, like, you could blame various powers in the world for dividing us. And there's certainly, you know, conscious and unconscious media for this division. Like, you know, the way that social media encourages people to gravitate toward echo chambers, and the way that governments actually benefit from a divided population. But I have to say also that we're kind of susceptible to this manipulation and to this polarization. Anytime that we're walking in judgment of others, anytime that we're assigning ourselves to the category of good guys and certain other people to the category of bad guys, we have to resist that. If we're not going to be divided and polarized, we have to resist that on every level, even the most difficult interpersonal level, when some other person just seems so inexcusable that you just say, well, you know, I wouldn't do that if I were them. I'm better than you are. Like, that is the psychic template for all of the division that we see today. And the antidote is simply to recognize the truth, which is that here's another divine soul. Here's another full human being who, if I were in her circumstances, I would do the same as she did. We're in this together. That's what it means to be in this together. I get inserted into one nexus point in the matrix of relationships that weaves this world. You get inserted into a different nexus point. And he gets inserted into a different nexus point. And maybe that nexus point includes all kinds of trauma, all kinds of horror, and not enough love. And maybe that person turns into somebody violent. And that's not to say, okay, we'll give him a free pass and let him do it. But it's to understand the conditions that all of the things that we condemn come from. In the area of sustainability, it might be something like greed. Sometimes it looks like the problem is the greedy people. But do we ask what makes somebody greedy? What cutoff from true wealth, from belonging, from connection, from feeling at home and safe in the universe, drives the endless appetite for acquisition? Do we ask that? If we do ask that, then we can begin changing those conditions. And the enemy that we have erected to joust against fades away. But we no longer get to hold ourselves as the hero and the savior. We're in it together instead.
Wow. Yes. So one of the main things we've been working on is what are the go-to practices that can help us find a place of interbeing, of peace, where we can act from. So we were curious to know if you have a practice that you love and you want to share with us.
I mean, on one level, I can say that there are many, many, many practices, and I won't advocate one over the other, but there are many practices that can bring us to this truth that I just said, the truth of interbeing, as you put it, the truth that on some level we're not separate, that we're all in this together, that I'm not separate from the world, that there's a mysterious intimacy between the inner and the outer. Many, many ways to reach this truth. One way that I like to practice is a question, which is, what is it like to be you? And I can do that right now. Like I can look at you, I can sense you, I can kind of put myself in your shoes, put myself behind your eyes. And anytime I do this, I have an experience of touching God. It can be almost overwhelming. And I especially like to do it if someone's triggering me, if I'm judging someone, just because in those moments, I know that I'm not actually seeing them. So that's the practice I can share. And it helps me maintain contact with the underlying divinity and sacredness of the world, including the human world. As environmentalists, sometimes, we're tempted to cast humans into like an inferior category of being compared to nature. But no, we are nature too. We are Earth birthed us. And who are we to question that wisdom? Instead, maybe we seek to fulfill the purpose for which we are birthed. And to see that, to look for that. I mean, to see it, you have to look for it, to look for it in each other. That's a practice I would offer.
Thank you so much. So just in closing, as a closing, do you want to share the wildest dream of yours right now? Or one of them. I know you can't share maybe the wildest, but
Anytime I try to describe the world, I call it the more beautiful world my heart knows is possible, I kind of feel like I'm not doing it justice. I'm not doing it full honor because my words tend to reduce it to like cliches. And I would rather, I mean, I could talk about a world in which the loudest sound I can hear is the birds and the children playing. I could talk about a world where life has come back to all of the dying places, where the seas are full of fish and whales again. Where species thought extinct are coming back, where people are not afraid to walk anywhere on earth, day or night, where people commonly exchange long gazes with each other. I mean, I could talk about many, many things. And I think that all of us have an understanding that such a world is possible. Even when the mind is in total despair that Earth could ever heal, yet you never quite give up hope, do you? Even if it seems like you've given up hope, then like some piece of good news happens or you have some experience and the hope springs to life again. That's because it was never gone, and that's because you know that it's possible. In your heart, maybe not your mind, but your heart knows that it's possible. So I would simply like to affirm your knowledge. And then maybe you can see what visions and dreams come from that knowledge once it's awakened and alive.
Wow, thank you, Charles. I would like to have a couple of hours to interview you, actually, but I'll be happy with that 15 minutes. So thank you very much.
That was one of the best quarters of an hour that I've had in a long time. Yeah, one of the strongest anchors for myself in the last couple of years has been to work on this, wearing it together, feeling that we are not separated from each other and we are the same being, just looking at things from different nexus points. And being translating Charles's book has definitely been supporting this inner work a lot. So I think for the next full moon, I invite you again to a surprise podcast. I'm liking these surprises. So in the meanwhile, you can check our website, innerpathways.eu, and our Facebook page, Inner Pathways Towards Sustainability. The website particularly is full of content to feed and inspire you, and the Facebook page as well. So you can also subscribe to our Spotify channel to listen to our podcasts from season 1 and from season 2. And yeah, may this full moon be a fermenting burst of blossoms and scents, awakening the joy of feeling what we've been talking about with Charles. And yeah, enjoy the next lunar month. And hugs from Deborah and the Inner Pathways team.